Welcome to Career Tools. This week, briefing technical topics to non-technical audiences, part one. The questions this cast answers are, how do I dumb down technical topics for non-technical audiences? Why do non-technical audiences need technical briefings? And what do I get out of briefing non-technical audiences?
Why is it better to leave a seat open than to fill it with just any hire? It's because rushed decisions often lead to mismatches and, therefore, increased turnover. What you really want is a measured approach, focusing on finding candidates who not only meet the job requirements, but also align with your team and organizational culture. Whether it's your manager who's hiring or you, the Video Effective Hiring Manager course, now featuring managing partners, Kate and myself, helps you make the right decision and the only decision that's correct for your team. Start building your dream team today. Visit us online at manager-tools.com/products.
Often, presenters of technical topics to non-technical audiences want to be there about as much as the audience want to be there, which is to say, not very much at all. Usually, the technical person wants to have to explain in words of one syllable the very complicated work that they've been doing, not very much. And the audience wants to listen to something very complicated explained to them as if they're children, not very much. But these briefings are usually essential because the non-technical team members need a certain level of technical understanding to effectively communicate about products to customers or suppliers or some other external party. And they need this technical knowledge in order to support the technical people within the company. If they don't understand the nuances of the technical work that's being done, they can't give you the support that you need. If they don't understand that it's absolutely critical that the clean room is clean, then they're going to walk in and dirty your clean room 3 times a day and drive you nuts.
Yeah.
So some of these sessions can be challenging just to explain what it is that you're doing and just to answer the questions that just seem basic and stupid. But they are an opportunity to meet people you wouldn't normally meet, to explain your work in a different way, which often gives you an understanding of your work in a different way and can lead to some revelations. And there are ways to make these technical briefings more manageable. And in this cast, we're going to talk about what those are.
So first, we're going to talk about understand your audience. Then set your objective. After that, we're going to focus on business context and impact. Then make it easy to understand. And lastly, rehearse.
So the first question, when somebody says to you, can you present your work to this group of people who are non-technical? The first question should be, who are they? Or at least, you know, if they say this, the accounting department or the sales department or whoever they are, they've given you a group, right? So you want to know more about them, because unless you understand who those people are, you can't give them an effective presentation. The second question and the third question are how long and about what? And because without those questions, the answers to those questions, it doesn't matter what other information you have, you cannot be effective. If you don't know how long, you're going to prepare something that's 10 minutes long and they want you for an hour. That's not an effective use of time. If you don't know what they want, what subject, what area of the subject, what perspective they want you to take on the on the topic, then you can't be effective. So who are they, how long, and about what are the three critical questions. So it has to be more than, will you present to the accounting group next Wednesday? The answer is, sure. And
I need to understand my audience.
Exactly.
Right. So the answer to who are they, that question, is the most fundamental aspect of an effective presentation. And this is not a sarcastic, who are they to take up my time? Or I'm going to say it a little differently, who do they think they are, right? That's not what we're asking. It's not sarcastic. It's a genuine question that you need answered in order to be able to give an effective presentation or to just know and understand the individuals that are going to make up the audience and what they want from your presentation. Because what it comes down to is any message that you're trying to get to land, it's up to you to make sure that you understand it. If you're missing the point, that's your responsibility. It's not the audience. They're just there to take in the information. It is up to you to give that information in a way that they understand, and it's not wasting their time or your time. That's what effective is. We want to make sure we're making the most of that time that we're presenting to other folks.
And all of us have sat in presentations where the presenter has completely missed the point, like completely given us a perspective that wasn't what we needed, or given us information that was at the wrong level of complexity for us. Or, you know, you've just sat there and gone, this is a complete waste of my time. I don't know why I'm here. And that happens because that presenter and the organizer didn't ask enough questions about the audience and what they needed. They have missed the most essential question, which is, what is this audience needing? And so asking those questions is the foundational piece. If you don't do this, the rest of what we're going to tell you doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it's interesting because being a presenter of our material for manager tools, before every conference, I'm looking at what is my audience made up of. I try to gather information, even at the beginning of the day, to help me be able to tailor our guidance, even though it's the same information. But if I can make those 8 hours of us together more impactful, I'm going to do that. It was interesting just a couple weeks ago in one of our conferences, immediately as soon as like I started the manager conference, she raised her hand and goes, you know what? I'm not a manager. I'm in healthcare. So how are you going to make me understand this? And I said, don't worry. I have you. I, in fact, also come from a healthcare background. So I can help my message land, and I can explain the things in a way that you will understand as we go through today. And that was really interesting and cool for me to be able to do from that perspective. And she ended up, and her colleagues that were there with her, got a lot out of that training that day. So it was exciting for me as a presenter to be able to also help my, they felt non-technical in a technical presentation. And I was able to make it work. So yeah. It was awesome.
And that's fun because it's more challenging, right? It's easy to explain something technical if you really understand it. It's easy to explain it in a simple way, but it's more challenging to do it for an audience that isn't quite the same as you would think, you know? And so the presentation is always about the audience. And so before you can even start, like the first thing you do is not create the slides. The first thing you do is think about the audience. And there is no such thing as a standard presentation. So if you think you have a standard presentation that explains your work, you don't, because there's no such thing as a standard audience. There may be one presentation that you give, one set of slides, one set of ideas, but you always tweak it to meet the needs of the audience on the day, which is exactly what Amanda's just said. We have the Effective Manager Conference. It's the same set of slides. It's the same set of ideas. Every time she delivers it differently because it's a different audience.
Yeah. And some questions to consider about the audience is, what is their business area and role? What is the goal of this briefing? What is the level of understanding required? What is the level of understanding that they have? What is their hands-on experience with technology? And what is their first language?
And understanding the purpose of the briefing is really important because the needs of someone who uses the technology daily is really different from someone who's just learning about an exciting development in your company. If you're teaching someone who is going to use some application on a day-to-day basis, they need a completely different kind of briefing than someone who you're saying, hey, we're launching a rocket next week, and it's the most exciting rocket we've ever launched for these reasons. It's completely different.
Yeah.
And there's a huge spectrum of users and sellers and accountants and implementers and managers and every other role that you can think of, all of whom would want a different kind of briefing because they have a different reason to know about whatever it is you're working on.
Yeah. And even if you think about one project, how many different teams have a hand in that are looking at it from a different perspective, right? Everyone has a different goal really in mind, even though it's the same project. So what's more, the level at which you need to provide education before you can go into the technical detail varies too. Salespeople with advanced science degrees versus those with high school diplomas need differently tailored presentations about a complex topic like nanoparticle paint on boats. This differentiation isn't about intelligence. It's about addressing each group's unique educational background. So some companies require higher degrees just to work within that organization. And some folks with the same role don't in different organizations. So knowing that level of education can also help you tailor your presentation.
And think about also the technical constraints. Will you have the necessary resources to demonstrate your technology effectively? Or are you going to be in a location with limited connectivity? Because if you're planning some hands-on interaction, you need to make sure that your audience all have devices that are going to connect to that website that you're planning to use for whatever they've got to press the buttons in the survey or whatever. And if you don't know that you're going to be in the basement and there's no Wi-Fi signal down there, and then you get there on the day, your presentation is now a whole lot less interactive than you thought it would be. And I didn't know this until Mike presented on our executive speaker series a couple of weeks ago about AI. And apparently there's Murphy's Law of Live Demonstrations, which is they always go wrong. So if you're planning a live demonstration, perhaps you might want to have some backup so that a live demonstration, if it does go wrong, you have a backup.
A backup on a backup.
Mm-hmm.
On a backup, right?
Yes.
Now, know that being selected as a technical expert to present on non-technical or to a non-technical staff is a mark of distinction for your career. It's an acknowledgement of your unique ability to communicate complex concepts effectively and a skill that bodes well for your future prospects. So being able to jump into a presentation that you're an expert on and give to non-technical folks is kind of a kudos to you for being able to not only do it for your team, but to everybody else. You really understand the complexities.
It's not a punishment. It's not a burden. It's not someone saying, you need some extra work to do. It's actually someone saying, you're good at this and we want you to do more of it.
Yeah, you're the person for this job, right?
Exactly.
So kudos to you.
We oftentimes get asked over here at Manager Tools, hey, how many people do we need to bring you on site to our organization? And the answer to that is, well, we'll take up to 30 people at a time. And if you have 30 people to be trained and you do the math, 30 people in the room when we come on site is the equivalent of 50% of our on-site public conference prices. The fewer people you have, the more expensive it'll be per person. But let me tell you right now, if you've got 5 people and you want us to come on site, we will do that for you. So if you're interested in how big your organization is or how small your organization is and whether or not you can have us on site to train your staff, send us an email to customerservice@manager-tools.com and we'll walk through the pricing to make sure you get the best deal for what you're looking for.
So our next subtopic is set your objective. So once you have a really clear understanding of the audience's composition and the objectives that you've been assigned or the objectives of the organizer and the constraints of the time and the technology and preparation and so forth, then you can establish your own objective for the briefing. Because the trick here is whatever the organizer thinks the objective for the briefing is, this may not be possible. And so you have to have your own objective too. You know, it doesn't matter how much the organizer wants it. You cannot give an in-depth technical explanation of some technology in an hour. You can't explain nanoparticles on paint in boats to any great depth in an hour. You can only skim the surface. You might be able to leave the audience with some memorable visual so that they go away and they could tell other people, oh yeah, it's like whatever, some analogy. You might be able to leave them with that. That might be your goal, to have them have that high level understanding that they can repeat to others, that they can say, oh, those people over there, they do the thing with the things. But you can't give them the kind of PhD level understanding. And so you have to have your own objective, which is more reasonable. You know, the visual thing is Ted Stevens' analogy of the internet as a series of tubes, or an engineer's succinct description of the combustion engine is suck, squeeze, bang, blow, which is what my dad taught me. They're simplistic and they're not entirely correct, but they're effective. They don't cover every detail, but they're close enough for a layperson. They're short enough for a bumper sticker, which is essential, and they're memorable enough to be quoted decades later. And that is probably all you can get in an hour. And knowing that makes for a much more effective presentation than thinking that you can have 50 slides in an hour with 12-point type and convey that much information.
Yeah, trying to convey 12-point font. That's just chock full. It's not going to happen. And it's not going to be effective. Now, on the other hand, with highly knowledgeable audience, you might have the opportunity to delve into very specific, narrow topic for an entire hour. However, such a scenario likely involves a technically proficient audience rather than the non-technical one. So you can give those high-level, in-the-weeds details to other technical experts that already know what you're talking about, that they don't need that high level, that you can dig into more of those details, but that's not the non-technical group that we're talking about today. So remember to clearly define what the definition of a highly knowledgeable or non-technical audience is when you're preparing. This clarity will help you tailor your content to be more effective, ensuring that it resonates well with the audience's level of understanding and interest. Again, it's up to you to make sure that your message lands. So asking yourself these questions beforehand during your preparation is really going to help you along there.
And when you're thinking about this objective, prioritize the needs of the audience over those of the organizer, because it's far more beneficial to have an audience that leaves feeling informed and satisfied and says to the organizer, that was really good, that was really helpful, and has a whole bunch of positive comments, than the organizer feels like their expectations was met and the audience say, well, it was an hour out of my day, it was okay, it was fine. It doesn't matter what the organizer wanted. If the audience found it helpful, you get the positive of that praise. It's much better to do it that way around. It not only ensures the success of this presentation, but it also builds your reputation for future things that you might do in this vein. And yeah, most people don't understand what makes a great speaker, but they know it when they see it. And so they'll say, oh, that person, you, was a great speaker. And the answer is, they know their audience, they know their objective, and they tailor the content to the audience and the objective. You know that because we just told you. They won't know that. All they'll say is, that was a great hour. It was useful. It was helpful. And I'm glad that I went, and you'll be asked to do it again. And the organizer will be really happy because they'll get the kudos for having asked you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Much better to fit what you're doing to the needs of the audience than whatever objective the organizer asked you to do. You don't want to go way off, but if you have a choice, if you're having to make a choice, then that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Now we're going to talk about focus on business context and impact. While we encourage you to give the audience an exciting briefing, We also want to remind you that whoever the audience is, you are at work, and the context is a business one. You are at work, and the audience, regardless of who they are, is a part of the business setting. Enthusiasm and motivation are essential, and there are certainly occasions where an exhilarating presentation about new technology is appropriate and can leave the audience energized. However, it's crucial to tailor your approach to the setting. For instance, a quarterly board meeting may call for a more measured and data-focused presentation style rather than one that is predominantly motivational or for sales or to encourage people to go out and get them. Right? It's two different types of presentation. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, you don't want to look at, I've forgotten what it's called, it's the Apple. They do a presentation once a year where they announce all the new products. You don't want that kind of presentation to the board if it's about the numbers, right? It's a great presentation, but it's a different purpose. The purpose is to get people excited about new products and go out and buy them. That's not what you're doing, probably. And so you don't want that kind of razzmatazz, as it were, in the environment you're in, probably. So that's why people often say, oh, this person's like, Tony Robbins is a great presenter. Yes, he is for what he's doing. You're probably not doing that. So looking to him as an example is probably not the right example.
Yeah, depending on what the purpose is. Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
And your audience and what the business needs.
And so for a non-technical audience, what is important about the technology is not probably the technology itself, but the practical impact on their work and daily operations. Their questions are grounded in reality, like how will it change their interactions with customers? What adjustments need to be made in their workflow? Like how do they pack the boxes differently? How will it influence product quality standards? What modifications will it bring to their use of the ERP system? Where might new customers emerge from? They're thinking of whatever your technology is in their day-to-day workflow. So you might be excited about the fact that you've got 16 extra things on your chip. They're asking, will it still fit in the box that I pack every day? And it's unlikely that you can get them excited about what you're excited about until at least you have explained their worries away by saying, yes, it's all right. It'll still fit in the box.
Yeah. So anticipating those impacts too, depending on what your audience is going to be thinking about. Now, this is a subset of the questions about objective. Some of those concerns may be out of your realm to know or to be able to talk about. In that case, you'd be wise to state this upfront. For example, you might want to say, the purpose of this briefing is to tell you all about the new version of the TTX3 that will be on sale starting March 1. I work in product design, so I'm going to tell you about the updates we've made and why we think this version will be better for our customers. I don't have any information about dispatch or shipping, although I know you'll be interested in that, so I'm sure Kevin is going to make sure you get that information. And then carry on with your information.
So in a briefing to managers, you might concentrate on where the technical details influence cost and revenue, because managers are usually managing cost and revenue, or where it would impact their team, whatever team they're managing. In a briefing to sales, you might concentrate on what's being changed to meet customer needs, because sales interact with customers, obviously. In a briefing to production, you might concentrate on what's being changed to make the product more reliable or easier to produce. In a briefing to marketing, you might focus on how the new technology enhances brand image or allows for a more targeted and effective marketing campaign.
In briefing to customer support, you might concentrate on the technology improved response times and resolution rates, leading to increased customer satisfaction, because that's what customer support is for, customer satisfaction. In a briefing to the finance department, you might highlight how the technology optimizes cost efficiency, reduces operational expenses, or impacts the overall financial forecasting. In briefing to the HR team, you might discuss how technology streamlines recruitment processes, enhances employee training programs, or contributes to a more engaging workplace environment.
If you're talking to the R&D team, you might be talking about how the technology opens up new avenues for innovation or accelerates research processes or facilitates collaboration with external partners. If you're talking to the logistics, you might talk about how the technology improves supply chain management or enhances delivery efficiency or reduces logistical complexities. And in briefing to the legal department, you might be talking about how the technology aligns with compliance requirements, mitigates legal risks, or handles data privacy issues. Every department's going to have some different concern, no matter what it is you are talking about. We don't even know what the TTX3 is, and yet we can guess what all of those different departments' concerns might be about that product just by knowing what those departments do in most big companies. And so that would be part of the whole preparation thing and the objective. You know that group of people, you know what their concerns are. It would be good to know specifically what they're interested in, but even just generally knowing, you could create a presentation around that. So this week we've talked all about the audience and the content of your presentation. Next week we're going to talk more about the actual words that you might say and about rehearsing and how we can make it a good presentation. Bye, everyone.
Bye.